RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo taking off to Bima. Transportation Minister Ignatius Conan gives green light for Jakarta ERV SIMD. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo in his way to Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, for a working visit to a number of provinces in eastern Indonesia. The plane took off from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in East Jakarta at around 8 a.m. local time on Friday to head towards Lombok Airport. He will be inaugurating Pasar Raya Amahami in Bima City. After visiting Bima, President Joko Widodo plans to go to Jayapura, Papua to officially open Indonesian Soccer Championship 2016 at Mandala Stadium, Jayapura, Papua Province. Several state officials who accompanied President Joko Widodo in his visit include Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, Trade Minister Thomas Lembon, Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi, Head of the President's Staff Teten Mas Duki, and President's Special Staff Johan Budi. President Joko Widodo plans to return to Jakarta on Saturday, April 13th. Indonesian Transportation Minister Ignatius Conan said that he agrees that the application of electronic road pricing ERV SIMD in Jakarta will be an effective replacement for the 3-in-1 SIMD that is currently applied across capital during peak hours. Speaking in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Conan said that he supports the ERV system, adding that the application of such SIMD actually does not require any sort of approval from his ministry. He also pointed out that based on the existing regulation, the cessation relating to which roads where the ERP system will be applied cannot be decided solely by the Jakarta administration. Jakarta administration plans to apply the ERP SIMD along Jalan Jenderal Sudirman and Jalan Tamrin to replace the 3-in-1 system, which has been viewed in recent days as inefficient to relieve congestion that has financially flooded the capital. The National Police Department estimates that there will be sent 50,600 workers from various regions to celebrate International Labor Day in Jakarta on May 1, 2016, and will be announcing their 9 demands. Those demands, according to release from Metro Jaya Police Department, includes rejecting presidential decree on wage, increase minimum wage by 30% in 2017, change the needs of decent living, to 84 items support the staged on the people's housing, locally called Tapera for workers and citizens, reject the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, and reject multilateral layoffs, reject cheap wage, reject the premium increase on BPJS health, reject criminalization worker and labor activists. The workers will also complete their aspiration at the House Statue National Palace, Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, and Public Works and Transmigration Ministry. To secure the protest, the authorities will deploy about 16,800 joint personnel. After unveiling its 11 economic policy package late last month, the government announced again the 12th tranche of package on Tuesday aimed at increasing the ease of doing business in Indonesia. Chief Economy Minister Darmina Sution said at the State Palace following the announcement of the new policy by President Joko Widodo in Jakarta on Tuesday. The economic package is an important package with a wide scope. To follow the President's order, Chief Economy Minister Darmina Sution formed a special team and coordinated with the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, PKBN, and a number of relevant ministers and state institutions. According to Mr. Darmin, this policy package may have a more significant impact and improve the ease of doing business. An economist of Development Bank of Singapore, DBS, Gundi Cahyadi, predicted Indonesia's economy would grow 5.2% this year. Speaking on Friday, Gundi stated that the said growth would be driven by increasing investment and government spending, which is expected to be more effective this year. He said the consumption sector, which is the main pillar driving the country's economic growth, is relatively stable. He predicted that the country's long-term economic growth could reach 6% in the next 5 years of the country is no longer depends only accommodates in exports. In the first quarter of 2016, the country's economy grew only by 5.1%. The recent capture of five Chinese workers in Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport sparked concern about the presence of illegal foreign workers in Indonesia. The five men were detained for not carrying proper documents, although they were released after the company that hired them sought immigration documents. Asril Hamza Tanjung, deputy chairman of the House of the Representatives DPR Defense and Foreign Affairs Commission, said on Tuesday that the case is a reminder to the Immigration Department to improve their monitoring and supervising functions. This year, the Directorate General of Immigration at the Justice and Human Rights Ministry repatriated 196 Chinese citizens for abusing their residence permits and visas. The Secretary of Director General, Ida Bagus Adiana, said that his side will tighten supervision against foreigners for security reasons. Udopir Kamit, President of Indonesian Workers Union Confederation, says there are still many illegal workers who are not registered. He estimated there are now some 700 unregistered foreign workers, which is about 1% of total number of foreign workers. Indonesia will hold a trilateral meeting with Malaysia and the Philippines to improve security in ASEAN region. This meeting will be held at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on May 5, 2016. The meeting will be attended by foreign ministers and commanders of the armed forces of the three countries. Spokesman for the foreign minister, Armanata Nasir, in a press briefing that was held on Tuesday, April 28, said that this meeting is the instruction of President Joko Widodo to discuss joint efforts related to hijacking and hostage taking in the region of Sulawesi and the island of Sulu, the Philippines. That is still a challenge these days. The security threat to be feared could disrupt the economy of three countries in the future because the region is an important economic track. Armanata says things that will be discussed include the coordination of the armed forces and maritime security.
Kita harapkan tujuan dari pertemuan ini
We spent the meeting is not only to discuss the maritime security situation and escalation of recent security challenges in the region that become the meeting point of the three countries, namely in Sulu and Sulawesi. Armanata further said that through this meeting, it is expected to produce a joint statement in a commitment to maintaining the security and economic stability in the region. In this meeting, there will be the signing of a memorandum of understanding on three commanders of the armed forces of details on maritime security cooperation in the region. Armanata also said the concrete forms of cooperation, for example, through joint patrol, Indonesian initiative to hold the meeting is a proof of Indonesian leadership in the region. The last item, Foreign Minister spokesman Armanata Nasir assured that 14 hostages from Indonesia by militant group Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines are currently in good condition. In a press briefing held in Jakarta on Tuesday, April 28, Armanata explained last week the Philippines government launched military operation But earlier, the Philippine government has informed the Indonesian government in advance and ensured that Indonesian hostages were not around the area of military operations. Last week, the Philippines have conducted military operation, as we had been told before. Before the operation, the Philippine Foreign Minister has informed the Indonesian Foreign Minister that they will conduct another military operation in the region where the Canadian state was kept. We are convinced that the current position of Indonesian hostages was not around the military operation. Armananta further explained that Ministry of Foreign Affairs continues to communicate with the Philippines government and from time to time always know exactly the position of the hostages. Armananta further explained that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs continues to communicate with the Philippines government and from time to time it always knows exactly the position of the hostages. Indonesians appreciate the good cooperation and commitment of the Philippines government in recruiting the citizens of Indonesia. Communication between the foreign ministers of Indonesia and the Philippines is carried out every day, and the information given to Indonesia by the Philippines is very helpful in determining the next steps. He emphasized that the main priority is the safety of the hostages. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
See the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10
110 before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Indonesia Regrets North Korean Nuclear Test. The political situation on the current peninsula continues to heat up following nuclear tests and ballistic by North Korea. An official source from North Korean Armed Forces reported that North Korea will launch guided missile as nuclear weapon test on last Thursday. As South Korean Armed Forces source reported that the launch of North Korean nuclear test from a submarine failed, the United States, a close ally of South Korea, can start being under fire. By warning Pyongyang not to worsen the political situation on the Korean Peninsula, the government of Washington conveys the threat of new sanctions. As quoted by China's news agency Xinhua, the warning of Washington to Pyongyang was stated by spokesman of U.S. State Department Mark Toner. Pyongyang appears to abandon the sanction that had been imposed by U.N. Security Council recently. It's evidenced by the launch of ballistic missile from North Korean submarines. In contrast, the statement of source from South Korean Armed Forces said that the launch failed. Meanwhile, North Korea claimed that its ballistic missile test conducted on Tuesday was successful. The effort to launch a ballistic missile that was reported to reach 3,000 kilometers indicates the force of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The range of North Korean guided missiles could reach Guam, U.S. territory in the Pacific. The act of North Korea that was likely to disrupt, as you say, disregard U.N. Security Council's resolutions and threats to the United States would trigger heated political escalation and worsen the country's relation with the nearest neighbor, South Korea. Indonesia regards both Korea as a friendly countries. Thus, Indonesia would view seriously the harmonization of relations between the two Koreas on the Korean Peninsula. Indonesia also doesn't want the persistence of tension in the region. Therefore, Indonesia does regret North Korea that did not obey the resolution of the UN Security Council and did not try to show his good intentions. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We begin with an event on April 29, 1955. Giovanni Gronchi elected as Italian president. Giovanni Gronchi was an Italian politician who became the second president of Italian Republic in 1955 to 1962 after the World War II, replacing Luigi Einaudi. His governance was marked by controversial effort which failed to create openness to the left in Italian politics. Before that, Gronchi achieved his first title in literature and philosophy at Scuola Normale Pisa. Between 1911 to 1915, he worked as high school teacher of classics at several Italian towns. He volunteered for military service during World War I, and when it was over, he became parliament member for Pisa in two parliamentary elections in 1919 and 1921. He also became the leader of labor union in the Italian Confederations of Christian Workers, and in 1922 to 1923, he served in the first government of Mussolini as Undersecretary for Industry and Commerce. On April 20, 1990, Berlin Wall demolition began. The Wall of Berlin was a barrier dividing Western and Eastern Berlin and other East Germany. This wall was built on August 13, 1961 by the Communist government of East Germany under leadership of Walter Ulbricht. However, on April 20, 1990, the wall was demolished. Between 1949 and 1961, more than 2 million East Germans fled through Berlin. This situation badly influenced the economy in East Germany. The Berlin Wall itself became the symbol of notorious Cold War. Many Western figures, especially U.S. President, visited the wall to condemn it. President J.F. Kennedy in 1963 came and had a speech on the side of the wall with his prominent sentence, "Ich bin ein Berliner," or "I am people of Berlin." 20 years later, in 1983, President Ronald Reagan also had a speech here and condemned Soviet Union as he called it an evil empire. We end today in history with an event on April 29, 1992, Los Angeles riot. A racistic riot occurred in Los Angeles, USA, April 29, 1992. The riot was triggered by the jury's decision to release four police officers from beating allegation against a black motorist, Rodney King. The decision taken by all-white jury triggered political unrest, and people's anger dominated by the black people in the southern Los Angeles. The angry mob then attacked the police central office at Business District before burning down shopping complex and vehicles. At the day, many motorists was pulled away from their motorcycle and got beaten, while cars were turned and burned. At least five were shot dead. This was the worst violence in Los Angeles since the Watts riot in 1965, where 24 people were dead. Governor of California, Pete Wilson, even declared emergency status in his area. In a short statement on TV, President George W. Bush stated that the vandalism and murder at City Street must be stopped. He also expressed his concern on excessive violence used by the police against civilians. However, fortunately, the riot could be ended in less than 2 days. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus, featuring Indonesia and the world urge North Korea to stop provocation. The Indonesian government expressed their concern on a submarine ballistic guided missile test conducted by North Korean government on Saturday, April 23, 2016. As it is known, North Korea on Saturday conducted a ballistic guided missile test from a submarine. North Korea stated that the test was successful. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, in their press release on Wednesday, April 27, stated, the Indonesian government saw the missile test by People's Republic Democratic of Korea as international triggering tension. That act was supposed to spirit of Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, or CTBT. Besides that, North Korea also had violated their obligation towards several UN Security Council's resolution number 1718-2006, number 1874-2009, and number 2087-2013. The government of Indonesia then urged North Korea to refrain from provocation which could disturb regional stability. Indonesian government also asked related parties to continue the meeting of six countries to maintain peace and stability around Korean Peninsula. UN Security Council
also condemned the submarine ballistic missile test by North Korea. UN spokesperson Stephen Dujarric on Monday, April 25th, New York Times said UN Security Council agreed to continue monitoring the situation and taking further significant steps. According to Dujarric, UN Security Council also expressed their serious concern that the act had contributed to the nuclear system development in North Korea. Besides that, the Security Council also called the member countries to immediately apply sanctions to the North Korea, especially if the country have another test planned on May. Dujarric added, the members of Security Council emphasized that the launching and testing are clearly forbidden and will be sanctioned. Not only Indonesia, condemnation also came from other countries such as Japan, Germany, the United States, and South Korea. South Korean Foreign Affairs spokesperson Cho Jun-hyuk stated the ballistic test was violating UN Security Council resolution. Not only condemning, Jun-hyuk also said Seoul promised to take counter-movement if Pyongyang keeps violating the resolution. That was Focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo in his way to Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara, NTB, for working visit to a number of provinces in eastern Indonesia. Indonesian Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan said that he agrees that the application of electronic road pricing ERP SIM in Jakarta will be an effective replacement for the 3-in-1 SIM that is currently applied across the capital during peak hours. The National Police Department estimates that there will be some 50,600 workers from Paris regions to celebrate International Labor Day in Jakarta on May 1, 2016, and will be announcing their 9 demands. After unveiling its 11th economic policy package late last month, the government announced again the 12th tranche of the package on Tuesday, aiming at increasing the ease of doing business in Indonesia. An economist of Development Bank of Singapore, DBS, Gundi Cahyadi, predicted the Indonesian economy would grow 5.2% this year. The recent capture of 5 Chinese workers in Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport sparked concerns about the presence of illegal foreign workers in Indonesia. The 5 men were detained for not carrying proper documents, although they were released after the company that hires them saw immigration documents. Indonesia will hold a trilateral meeting with Malaysia and the Philippines to improve security in ASEAN region. This meeting will be held at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on May 5, 2016. Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir assured that 14 hostages from Indonesia arrested by militant group of Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines are currently in good condition. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, April 29, 2016. We begin with Tempo, which wrote, "Immigration tightens supervision on foreign workers." The arrest of 5 Chinese workers by the security of Halim Perdana Kusuma Airbase in Jakarta on Tuesday triggered concern on illegal foreign workers in Indonesia. The 5 were arrested because they did not bring any legal document in the precinct of the Halim Perdana Kusuma, although later released after their company showed the immigration papers. Deputy Speaker of the House's Commission 1 on Defense and Foreign Affairs from Gerindra Faction, Asril Hamzah Tanjung, said the case reminded the immigration to increase supervision. Meanwhile, House's Defense Commission Deputy Speaker Tubagus Hasanuddin also said immigration is weak in supervising foreigners in the country. He worried there will be more foreigners, especially from China, after the ASEAN Economic Community began this year. Tubagus added, he will summon the Foreign Affairs Minister to evaluate the revised policy towards several countries, especially China. According to him, the revised policy is ineffective for the overpopulated country. Meanwhile, Republika wrote, FIFA to revoke PSSE sanction. The World Soccer Governing Body, FIFA, gave hope of sanction revocation towards Indonesian Soccer Association, PSSE. However, the government of Indonesia must revoke the PSSE suspension first. The revocation appeared in a letter dated April 26, 2016, signed by FIFA Secretary General Markus Kadner. The letter was addressed to the Cabinet Secretary Pratikno, CSID, for PSSE. The FIFA statement followed the meeting of Indonesian delegates led by Indonesian Olympic Committee's Chairman, or KOI, Erick Thohir, and PSSE ad hoc team Chairman Agum Gumelar with FIFA President Gianni Infantino in Zurich, Switzerland this week. There is chance for the PSSE suspension revocation to be further discussed with the Extraordinary Congress. However, FIFA wants the Congress to follow the status of PSSE. FIFA and Asian Football Confederation are ready to supervise the Congress implementation. Kompas Daily wrote, President wants public service improved. President Joko Widodo instructed the public services to use online system in order to be more transparent. Internet connection and electronic ID card are the early challenges to realize this. Besides that, the public services including passport, airport services, driving license, vehicle registration, as well as birth, marriage, and land certificates are seen by the president as ineffective, inefficient, and difficult. Thus, improvement is required. We end today's headline with Media Indonesia. Simplicity welcomed by enthusiasm. The latest economic policy package is expected to encourage the emergence of new business people. The government will still release another policy packages. Many enthusiastically welcome the government decision to cut the licensing and bureaucracy to facilitate the small-medium enterprises to begin their business. This was stated by the chairman of Indonesian Employers Association, APINDO, Haryadi B. Sukamdhani, the chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry or KADIN, Rosan P. Ruslani, and the chairman or the executive director of Institute for Development of Economic and Finance or INDEF, Eni Sri Hartati, on different occasions. Through the 12 deregulation policy packages launched at the State Palace, the government had improvements and extra efforts in regulation, licensing procedure, and funding so that the investment and business in Indonesia can be a lot easier. Listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Kala Lebo of West Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Lebo Lake is one of the leading tourism area in West Sumbawa with an area of approximately 752 hectares. The largest lake in the province of West Nusa Tenggara, saving potential of high natural resources for the economy of surrounding communities as it is used as fishing grounds and freshwater fish farming, agricultural irrigation water supply, raw water sources for household as well as ecotourism potential. As the ecotourism area, tourists can do their fishing hobby in this area. Besides fishing, tourists can also invite family and friends to enjoy the natural mountain air in the lake. Listener traveling to Lake Lebo, let's taste one of the special culinaries, namely Kala Lebo. Kala Lebo is a typical food of West Sumbawa. Kala in the local language means boiled, and Lebo is the name of the lake. Kala Lebo means boiling or cooking the fish, which is taken directly from the Lebo Lake, such as tilapia, tawas, and catfish. The fish is cooked into the unique culinary Lebo Lake. Cooking process was fairly easy. Firstly, onion and garlic sliced, then salted.
Next, put the subtle flavor of mixture of turmeric, nutmeg, red chili, and red onion. Not to forget the tamarind water, and the solution is included as well. Once boiling, add the pieces of fish that has been cleaned and cooked. Lepo-like typical culinary of West Sumbawa is presented in a clay crock. The crock covered with green banana leaves. Some part of the leaves turn brown when poured to hot sauce. It looks fish fillet in gravy yellow oily fish. The dish filled with green leaves of basil, lemongrass, and colorful pepper slices. A sprinkling of slices of fried red onion enhance the appearance of Kela Lepo. It surely tasted so delicious. There is a blend of savory flavors, sweet, sour, and spicy. Listener, in order to maintain the delicacy of Kela Lepo, the sellers opted to stay with cooking by using soil cauldron. Wood is also not left behind to keep the freshness of sauce aroma. To enjoy this cuisine, you can find the food stalls that are available on the Lake Lepo. One portion of the culinary usually containing 1.5 kg to 1 kg of fish. 1.5 kg Kela Lepo can eat for 3 to 4 person. One portion of this culinary is only 25,000 to 35,000 rupiah. Kela Lepo can be enjoyed with warm white rice and other typical menu, such as plecing kangkung, taliwang chicken, and grilled fish. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Kela Lepo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Listener, on April 29, Dance Day is always used as the day to perform dance elegance from its own culture. This year, Solo commemorates Dance Day by performing 24-hour dance that brought not only Indonesian traditional dance, but also dance from other countries, such as Japan and Mexico. During the performance, the visitor feels like taken around the world through the dances. Listener, the dance in the Solo 24-hour dancing event was performed by Indonesian Art Institute EC Solo students. Last Monday, the sound of gamelan was heard from the EC Hall. Seems like the students are practicing for the performance of 24 hours solo dancing in commemorating the World Dance Day 2016. The commemoration take place in Jalan Jenderal Sudirman, Jalan Slamet Riyadi and other EC Solo Complex. From before until after event, the students was performed the dances for approximately 30 hours. This year, the solo 24 hours dancing was involving thousands of dancers from around Indonesia and abroad. The participants from Indonesia is mostly from Sumatra, Java, Kalimantan and Sulawesi. Meanwhile, the participants from abroad come from China and Malaysia. This year, participants are actually bigger than last year. The participants is listed individually or in organization, such as art studio, association, universities, health institution, and tourism ministry. Indirectly, Solo 24 Hours Dance Day becomes a miniature of World Dance Day this year. 250 dance community delegation, not only performing many kinds of dances that represent each region in Indonesia, but also around the world. The two-day commemoration is also provide dancing photo exhibition and dancing film screenings in Indonesian Art Institute EC Solo venue. World Dance Day is commemorated around the world as the birthday of modern ballet figure Jean-Georges Nauvert that was born in April 29, 1727. Since 1982, UNESCO stated April 29 as the World Dance Day as a form of expression to all dancers in the world. Listener, that was today's miscellany entitled Around the World in the World Dance Day 2016. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, we'll meet again in another edition of Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany. Listener, on April 29, Dance Day is always used as the day to perform dance elegance from its own culture. This year, Solo commemorates Dance Day by performing 24 hours dance that brought not only Indonesian traditional dance, but also dance from other countries, such as Japan and Mexico. During the performance, the visitor feels like taken around the world through the dances. Listener, the dance in the Solo 24 Hours Dancing event was performed by Indonesian Art Institute EC Solo students. Last Monday, the sound of gamelan was heard from the EC Hall.
seems like the students are practicing for the performance of 24 hours solo dancing in commemorating the World Dance Day 2016. The commemoration takes place in Jalan Jenderal Sudirman, Jalan Slamet Riyadi and other EC Solo Complex. From before until after event, the students was performed the dances for approximately 30 hours. This year, the solo 24 hours dancing was involving thousands of dancers from around Indonesia and abroad. The participants from Indonesia is mostly from Sumatra, Java, Kalimantan and Sulawesi. Meanwhile, the participants from abroad come from China and Malaysia. This year, participants are actually bigger than last year. The participants is listed individually or in organizations such as art studio, association, universities, health institution and tourism ministry. Indirectly, Solo 24 Hours Dance Day becomes a miniature of World Dance Day this year. 250 dance community delegation not only performing many kinds of dances that represent each region in Indonesia, but also around the world. The two-day commemoration is also provide dancing photo exhibition and dancing film screenings in Indonesian Art Institute EC Solo venue. World Dance Day is commemorated around the world as the birthday of modern ballet figure Jean-Georges Nauvert that was born in April 29, 1727. Since 1982, UNESCO stated April 29 as the World Dance Day as a form of expression to all dancers in the world. Listener, that was today's miscellany entitled Around the World in the World Dance Day 2016. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again in another edition of Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the Music Corner, presenting you Indonesian music, either traditional or the modern ones. In this edition, we will introduce you into a dangdut singer of Indonesia, Mega Mustika. But before we begin, let's listen to one of her songs entitled Mengalah, or in English means Give In. Enjoy!
Haruskah aku mengalah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.